You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another friendly episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
My name is, I'm ready to go, I promise. My name is Rob, and excited to be with you for this episode number 969. Thank you guys for joining us today. It is a little different having this big old camera staring at us. We're using a different camera today, and the subject for today is one that I think probably trips up most people, even our fantastic instructor, Ted Wilson. Tells us that nobody really understands airspace completely, and he's been teaching this stuff for 30 years.
I completely agree with Ted, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very complex thing. And so I'm excited. I always like digging into these things because every little nuance comes out in the different examples of trying to figure out airspace. So it's kind of fun.
Totally.
Cool. And then which app is going to be the best to try to figure that out? Good
question. Yeah, it is a great question because it's also a really good learning example for people that, you know, you really cannot trust applications to give you correct airspace information. This has been a problem for a long time. This problem plagued early providers of airspace information, and it still plagues people to this day. Even the FAA UAS FM maps have significant problems with accuracy in determining airspace because one simple reason, Rob. It's because they're trying to fit a round peg in a square hole.
How do you mean?
I mean, a square peg in a round hole, actually.
Yeah, because the other way would actually be okay, right?
It would be okay, yeah.
Not very efficient, but
so
it would.
So airspace is made in circles, all right? UAS FM is made in squares. So when they're trying to cover certain areas, oftentimes those areas showcase areas that are not controlled airspace, but it's saying it's controlled airspace. So it's really not an accurate representation. This was a huge problem in Dallas. Dallas Executive, the UAS FM kind of overlapped the Dallas, what is it called? Was it Love Field Airport or DFW? I can't remember. So they canceled Lance for that area. Same thing in Houston Hobby. It's just fascinating that they haven't figured this out yet, frankly.
It kind of shows how complex it is, though, too.
It does. And it also showcases why understanding airspace is so important and also why it's probably the most quintessential, important topic to review when you renew your Part 107 license. So before we go ahead and play this question, I just want to... Actually, the sponsor of this show today is going to be Mr. Jason Flakes. So Jason Flakes is a Drone U instructor out of the Washington, D.C. area. He's actually one of my good friends. And since he lives where I grew up, I really have connected with Jason a lot. Really cool guy. Has a flight mastery class coming up. It's Friday, May 24th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Lake Fairfax Park. So this is really exciting because, you know, he is one of the first Drone U Elite guys who's saying, instead of leaving my schedule open-ended and people asking a bunch of questions, what we're going to do is very simple. We are going to pick one designated time and then allow whoever wants to come to come. So I think that's actually brilliant. And I'd like to see more Drone U Elite pilots doing that. But if you haven't actually checked out our flight mastery training, which is offered by Drone U Elite. So Drone U Elite is just essentially our individual trainings that, well, they service the Drone U classes. Instead of us teaching them, it's Drone U Elite teaching them because we can only teach so many classes at once. So
the Drone U Elite pilots are those pilots that have been with the Drone U community for quite a while, and we've vetted them extensively, flown with them extensively.
They came to a training conference where we trained them while they trained other people.
Yeah, so we trust them implicitly to do good by you guys.
And we only choose people with good conflict management skills. Wink, wink. Anyway, had to throw that in there. If you want to check out Jason Flake's training in the Washington, D.C. area, and by the way, the training is outside of the freeze, so yes, you will be able to actually fly. Check out bit.ly, so bit.ly/JasonFlakesDU. That's bit.ly/JasonFlakesDU.
And we'll have that link in the show notes, too.
For sure. All right, well, let's go ahead and play the question, which is, again, brought to you by Drone U Elite and Jason Flakes for a Washington, D.C. training.
Hi, Paul. Hi, Rob. This is Dave from Michigan, and I fly as a hobbyist, but thinking of getting my Part 107 in the next few months. I always have the question in my mind, am I allowed to fly at a location? So I have downloaded a number of drone apps to try and help me. These include Kitty Hawk, Air Map, UAV Forecast, Drone Buddy, and Before You Fly. When I look up a location, I get conflicting results from the apps. Kitty Hawk has no ring around the airport. Air Map has a small ring for hobbyists and no ring for Part 107. UAV Forecast has multiple large rings. Drone Buddy has two rings around all airports, one small and one large. And Before You Fly gives you one big ring. So I'm still not clear if I can fly in the location. I sent an email to Drone U Support with screenshots so you can see what I'm talking about. So why this variance in the apps? Which app would you recommend? Thanks for the great podcast.
Hey, Dave, thanks for the great question. We really do appreciate it. And if you have a question like Dave does, go to askdroneu.com. And I love what he did here. He asked the question and then he sent us resources to kind of dig into his question a little bit deeper and really have the details to answer it well.
Totally.
So thank you for that.
Totally. And Rob is actually pulling up these screenshots that we're looking at. And it's actually hard to differentiate which app is which. I mean, we can tell which app is Air Map, but we could tell which app is UAV Forecast. Although it was actually kind of hard to tell which app was Kitty Hawk. But then I just was like, well, which one has green buttons? There it is.
Yeah.
So here's the question, right? Which app can you trust? The answer is none. None of them. As a remote pilot in command, you should know airspace. Anyone who is relying on applications is relying on third party information. And in the surveying world and the engineering world and the coding world, we all know that that can spark lots of problems. You know, it's kind of like when you play the game Telephone, right? I'm going to tell you that South Haven is maybe okay to fly, right? And then Rob says, as he's coding it, well, sometimes it's okay to fly, but it wasn't really clear why or how.
Or I could just say, I heard it was fine.
Yeah. Well, and this is why every single pilot needs to really understand airspace, like legitimately. You need to understand it and you need to be able to read sectional maps. Sectional maps are those things that you see on your Part 107 exam. This is also just, so by the way, we're actually refilming our Part 107 training right now.
Literally as we speak.
Yeah, it's literally going
really
on as we speak.
That.
With Ted Wilson, and we're really excited about that because Ted is actually who taught our airspace section of this class. And in my eyes was the quintessential reason as to why so many DroneU members passed with flying colors on the Part 107 exam. In fact, other people have said very openly, like Paul, there are parts to Remote Pilot 101 that I really like. I like their organization, but when it comes to airspace, it's not easy to remember. It's really difficult. And what I love about Ted is because he taught for United Airlines for literally 20 years, mm-hmm. He has this down to like storybook form. I mean, like, literally, like, you're in fifth grade reading a book again, and yeah. It just all makes sense.
To him, it's all a science.
It really is.
You know, it's fantastic to have him on the team.
But the way that he teaches it is just so retainable. That's what I'm trying to,
exactly.
What I'm trying to say.
Exactly.
So if you haven't watched that for our question asker, make sure you check out that part of the Part 107 class. That is already on our website. And also, for everyone who's been asking about the new comprehensive mapping class, we did delete all of the old mapping classes. And now the comprehensive mapping class is on the site. And you also have exercises where you can download imagery, you can download ground control points, and a lot of other really cool stuff. That way you can actually do mapping side by side with that class. Anyway, sorry, I had to switch tracks. I'm really excited about that. Going back to airspace, what is the solution here? Don't use an app. very simple. You need to understand airspace, because I actually went to a couple of different areas. I even went, listen to this, Rob, I even went to the Visualize It, man. I don't know who at the FAA came up with that name, but I have a feeling they like reggae music.
Maybe. I don't know how visualize it.
Visualize it, man. CFAAUAS data on a map.
I love the visualize it converted to reggae music.
Visualize it, right? Whenever you hear that, I just think reggae music.
I don't know how his mind works either. But
well, I mean, literally, like, the easiest way to Google the FAAUASFM maps, which is a pretty difficult thing to say anyway, is you literally Google FAA, visualize it. I'm going to do it right now. Like, you don't believe me. Like, FAA.
No, I believe you.
Visualize.
I believe you.
Look, it's even in here. Visualize it, and it comes up in the search bar. I don't even have to even Google it, but I'm going to Google it anyway. And look, it's the first link. Visualize it. S-C-A-F-A-A-U-A-S data on a map.
In parentheses, it says reggae version. No, I'm just kidding. It doesn't.
But anyway, even on that map, so our question asker asked about one very particular airport in his screenshots that you may or may not be able to view. And we're not going to pull a macro voices and be like, check out our slide deck on slide 37 to look at this graph that you'll never see or be able to find
as
on our website.
As much as we love the Macro Voices podcast.
It's just you're listening to an audio piece, not a PowerPoint. So I'm sorry. I listened to his most recent show and it was just like, dude.
Yeah, I think most people are. Anyways, yes.
Okay. So he asked about South Haven Airport. Okay. So that was the airport in his screenshot that he's talking about. South Haven Airport is just outside of, it looks like Grand Rapids, Michigan. Okay. It's along the coast. But when you go to the FAA Visualize It map, you're not going to be able to find it on there.
Right.
You can't visualize it.
No.
So what I did is I went to skyvector.com. That's SKYVECTOR.com. It's literally the entire sectional map of the whole country on screen.
So this is a great place to go, by the way, to, if you're so inclined, which I think all the pilots listening should be, to just go and like pick an area and study it and learn. That's a great way to learn to understand this after having watched TED, for example, and just practice.
Yeah, I agree. Practice 100% of the time. But on SkyVector, I actually looked up, there's a interfacing magenta ring around the South Haven area regional airport. Because it is a magenta ring and it's inward facing, that means it's class E to 700 feet AGL, which means it's class G from the surface to 700 feet, which means if you're part 107, you can fly it no matter what, literally off the end of the runway all day long. You know, obviously you have to yield to aircraft.
Right.
You know, as a hobbyist, you know, we're still in the middle of this whole like transition period of the reauthorization is pretty much changing the way that the FAA is defining hobbyist operations now, that pretty much, unless it's literally purely for fun and you never upload the footage online, that's hobbyist flying. I mean, that's how I see it.
So in this case, for a hobbyist, they would be within 5 miles and they're supposed to call the tower. Is that where we're at still for hobbyists?
No. I mean, because I mean, the FAA just came out and said, like, I know all the rules for hobbyists just changed because they removed model aircraft, but we're just going to leave the existing rules in place until we come out with our interpretation of the reauthorization.
And the existing rules for a hobbyist in this case are? Crickets. I don't know.
I honestly don't know. I really don't know, because I mean, as far as I understand it, the old rules were, you know, even if you were within 5 miles of an airport, you had to notify the airport, and
exactly,
that was it. It was just notify.
Right.
But you know, I don't really know. I'm just gonna say this: it's class G. As long as he yields to aircraft, he's not within, like, let's say, a half a mile of this runway in any direction, I don't see why he couldn't fly.
Right.
I really don't. And here's the thing. You're not going to get in trouble for it. It's class G airspace. Like, it is the best airspace to fly in.
So that said, his question obviously was about which app to use. And you're suggesting, I mean,
I just want to get a message out, Rob, that, like, I'm sick of people asking about, like, apps to use, this, that, and the other. There are 6 different applications in front of you, and they're all showcasing different information. That says everything that you need to know about trust and reliability of an app.
It does, although a couple of them seem to be pretty accurate in terms of saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Is in terms of AirMap and Kitty Hawk, at least it looks like they're basically saying the same thing. But yeah, I mean, when you put them all together, you're right, Dave. It's really, really confusing.
Which is interesting because the air map hobby looks like the most accurate. They're like, don't fly within this circle, but they're not cutting off the entire area around the airport. It's just a small circle to say, you probably shouldn't fly here. And wow, like, I'm not sure that that's a bad thing. I think it's actually kind of a good thing. But
so if you were to go to...
Kitty Hawk is right with, yeah, you can fly here.
Yeah, right. So if you were to go somewhere, I don't know, let's just say somewhere in Idaho, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, what are you going to do? You've never flown there before. How are you going to set up to make sure that you're flying in appropriate airspace? What's going to be your sort of...
I'm probably going to look at visualize it on the FAA site first.
Okay.
And then I'm actually probably going to go into Skyward because Skyward's like, here, let me log into Skyward really quick. Skyward.io. They offer link approvals online. And it seems like, you know, we were just talking about this yesterday. It's like, with all the stuff going on in the community with these apps and everything, and, you know, people losing the ability to do certain things and not others. We were talking yesterday and we were like, if you were to fly in an area, you were to look up airspace and you had a job and you were getting paid $3,000 for that day, which is not unusual, would you wait until the last minute to go check airspace?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
Well, because you don't want to get out there and find, and you're trying to eliminate surprises, number one.
Yeah.
So you don't want to get out there and be surprised and then screw the whole operation up.
No, I agree 100%. I agree 100%. So what I like about Skyward is that they have the most detailed information regarding UAS FM maps. Look how much detail there is here versus, you know, the Visualize It site. The Visualize It doesn't show the DOD airspace. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't fly down here because, well, have you ever noticed that this mountain is surrounded by a little road?
Yeah, check that out.
Yeah, that's because there's nuclear weapons in there. Don't fly there in southeastern Albuquerque. Anyway, long story short, I would go to Sky Vector first. That's Sky Vector. I would check out the airspace because, again, I want to get a message across to everyone here. You guys need to learn airspace. You need to only trust the original sources of information. We talked about this with TFRs a couple weeks ago, tfr.faa.gov. You can only trust and rely on the information from the FAA directly. If you were to ever get in trouble, you were to have an investigator come and he's going to be like, okay, so you did your pre-flight. How did you check airspace? You could literally get dinged for not using the FAA source. They could literally be like, well, you didn't check the original source of information. So that's one place that needs work and improvement. I've actually, you know, Ted, again, he's an inspector for the FAA as a contractor. And they have this long, long, long list on this one particular form. And it's literally check the box yes or check the box no. And they look for everything. And then, like, this is why even in his 107 class, he's like, if you ever need to check the weather, you call 1-800-WX-BRIEF. Do you know why? It's called CYA, mofo. He doesn't actually say it like this. This is the Paul version.
He's much more sophisticated.
Yes. CYA, cover your ass. And the 1-800-WX-BRIEF line is recorded, federally recorded. So there's always proof that you actually called to do your pre-flight. And that's, again, one of the check boxes on the inspection form. So that being said, I want to get a message across to everyone. Yes, the apps are convenient, but like most things in this world, what is most convenient is not always the best thing, right? It's not always about being first, but it's being the best. Unless you adhere to the rules of Ricky Bobby, then if you're not first, you're last. Anyway, so I want people to understand you need to use SkyVector, airnav.com, and then, you know, if you want really, really detailed information after you've looked up the original source of information from the sectional map from the FAA, then you can check out places like Skyward, where you've got a lot of information online right in front of you. And if you need to file for a Lance approval in that area or see if it's a Lance applicable airport, then guess what? All that information is going to be in there. So I think that's really, really important to understand. So
awesome. Well, I hope that helps, Dave, out. And always, send in a follow-up question if you have more questions.
Actually, we got some great follow-up questions that we're going to be playing in these next few episodes. And we want to say we apologize for our lack of episodes for last week. The only fault that lies on Well, that's my fault.
That's not true.
Anyway, but thanks again for watching, and we really appreciate it. Hope you enjoyed that news show. We've got some great, actually, some news that we can't wait to release this upcoming week. I'm really, really excited. And I have to say again, from the news show, Rob, I am so excited about that Parrot drone. I never thought I would say that. Like, in my first drone, it was actually a Parrot drone. I never wanted to tell anyone. It was that AR drone before I got my first Phantom One.
Be loud and proud.
No, it was because of the AR drone that, like, I fundamentally misunderstood how to fly. Because all the controls are, like, backwards and everything. But anyway.
All's well that ends well.
Yeah, I'm excited about that drone. Anyway, all right, I'm going to stop. Thanks again for watching. If you have a question, go to askdroneu.com. Please upload your question. And if the show helps you in any way, please leave us a review or subscribe. That's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob.
This is Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sound have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.